This is the evening update on 88.5 KCSN. I'm Julie Popova with complete coverage of the day's events in the San Fernando Valley and Los Angeles County. In our report tonight, LA County Supervisor Zev Yaroslavsky is recommending building a treatment center for mentally ill jail inmates. Southern California Edison makes the difficult decision to close its troubled San Onofre nuclear power plant. The National Security Agency has been routinely collecting the communications records of millions of United States citizens. Attorney General Eric Holder explains the Justice Department's seizure of phone records from the Associated Press and emails from Fox News. The top 20% of income earners will reap more than half of $900 billion in benefits from tax breaks. In Southern California weather, clear tonight with lows in the mid-50s to around 60s, sunny tomorrow with highs in the 70s to lower 80s. The LA County Board of Supervisors has agreed to consider building a treatment center to house mentally ill inmates as one of the alternatives to a proposed $933 million rebuild of the downtown Men's Central Jail. Under the proposal, part of Men's Central Jail would be demolished and replaced by a new facility designed to address inmates' mental health and substance abuse. Supervisor Zev Yaroslavsky says the treatment center would be added to options to solve jail overcrowding. Press Deputy Yaroslavsky, Joel Bellman, says the plan should be closely examined to determine whether it would be cost-effective.
The main thing is see if it's a workable concept and then figure out what it would cost and whether it's affordable and, you know, if we feel very strongly that we need to try to move forward, come up with a creative and manageable way to pay for it.
The Sheriff's Department has estimated around 60 to 70% of county inmates are drug abusers. Mentally ill inmates would be jailed in the new center rather than as part of the general population. Officials are looking at alternatives in incarceration, such as electronic monitoring, pretrial release programs, and community-based social services. Civil rights activists have supported the plan but told the board it did not go far enough to solve the overcrowding so far. The San Onofre nuclear power plant has officially announced to close down after the discovery of damaged equipment. The plant hasn't produced electricity since the detection of a small radiation leak in new tubes which carried radioactive water a year ago. The twin reactors are the largest in the U.S. to permanently shut down in the last 50 years and were capable of powering 1.4 million homes. California Republican Congressman Devin Nunes believes politicians should stay out of energy-related issues.
The government has been in the middle of energy for far too long. They need to get out of the way. And this is just another prime example where you have meddling into this San Onofre issue by politicians that basically made sure that it closed.
Edison has spent more than $500 million on repairs in hopes to restart one reactor this year. The plant, however, will take months and possibly years to completely shut down the reactors. Southern California Edison agrees to pay $37 million in damages related to the 2007 Malibu Canyon fire. KCSN's James Jewett reports on the settlement.
The money is being paid to resolve concerns about three overloaded utility poles that sparked the fire that burned more than 3,800 acres. The utility giant has admitted that it violated the law by not taking prompt action to prevent a telecommunications company from attaching fiber optic cables to jointly owned poles in Malibu Canyon. When Santa Ana winds swept through the canyon, three utility poles toppled and ignited the fire. Dozens of structures and vehicles were damaged in the flames. The utility poles were jointly owned by Edison, AT&T Mobility, Verizon Wireless, and Sprint. The proposed settlement with California Public Utilities Commission represents the third, final, and largest agreement regarding the fire. All told, the settlements would bring in $63 million. Of that amount, $35 million goes to the state's general fund, and $28 million will be spent on pole inspections and remediations in Malibu Canyon, Southern California Edison says. Its payments would come from shareholder funds rather than ratepayers. James Jewett, KCSN News.
The Obama administration has defended the National Security Agency's need to collect phone records from millions of U.S. Verizon customers. The Guardian newspaper says the permission came from an order issued by the secret Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. The court order required Verizon to give the NSA information on all telephone calls and not specifying which customers were being tracked. Executive Director of the Electronic Privacy Information Center, Mark Rotenberg, expects questions to be raised by legal experts.
The first question is whether or not the search was authorized properly under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And the second question was, even if the search is appropriate under that law, does that law give the government too much authority to conduct surveillance?
Under the terms of the order, phone numbers, location, and call duration are all taken down. The conversations are not. The company listed 121 million customers in its first quarter earnings report. White House officials and Verizon offered no immediate on-the-record comment. After years of controversy, the Justice Department has agreed to never prosecute journalists for leak investigations. Attorney General Eric Holder says reporters are only doing their job, and the main focus should be on the government officials giving out the information. New policies and regulations will be added to the journalists' guidelines in future meetings with the department. Holder testifies before the Senate Appropriations Committee regarding the situation and further action.
The department's goal in investigating leak cases is to identify and to prosecute government officials who jeopardize national security by violating their oaths, not to target members of the press. The department has not prosecuted, and as long as I have the privilege of serving as Attorney General of the United States, will not prosecute any reporter for doing his or her job.
Holder himself is under pressure for two instances. The first involves the department obtaining phone records for the Associated Press regarding a foiled airline bomb plot in Yemen. The second involved phone records, emails, and security badge information of a Fox News reporter regarding North Korea in 2009. Holder believes he has not done a perfect job regarding leaks, but hopes to do better. The Los Angeles Unified School District Board is considering spending options for its 2013-2014 budget. The teachers' union is calling for hiring more instructors. The administrators' union is demanding more assistant principals. Various campus employees requested more librarians, counselors, and social workers. And adult education students want more classes. About two dozen speakers pleaded with officials to use an expected increase in state funding to restore programs lost during the six-year recession. LAUSD Superintendent John Daisy offered his own viewpoint about how the money should be distributed. He wants to use Proposition 30 revenue to give raises to all 80,000 district employees. Daisy seeks to pay down the structural deficit, and he would like to see safety nets like summer school and after-school tutoring. A new USC Dornsife LA Times poll finds that 59% of respondents said increasing online classes at public universities will make education more affordable and accessible. But 34% of those surveyed expressed fears that expanding online classes will reduce access to professors, diminish the value of college degrees, and not save money. Increasing online classes that are not mandatory was favored across all age ranges in the poll. Such a broad positive response is probably due to rising familiarity with all sorts of technology. There's a math disorder that can make life difficult for affected consumers. KCSN's Brendan Nakamini reports on their vulnerabilities.
Some people seem to get taken to the cleaners every time they buy a car, subscribe to a TV service, or get a new cell phone. New research suggests the problem might not be in their wallets, but in their genes. Brain scientists are starting to get a handle on a relatively new disorder called dyscalculia. It is loosely described as dyslexia with numbers. While plenty of people are insecure about their number skills, dyscalculics are bad at math in a very fundamental way. Studies indicate their brains can't even recognize groups of five or six objects or link numeric symbols with their corresponding values. There are obvious implications of this disorder for high school algebra students, but the nightmare it can cause adult consumers is a far more serious and largely misunderstood social problem. Dyscalculics often can't count change, and by the time they become adults, they are so insecure about numbers that they frequently cede all money issues to others, which is a recipe for disaster. Dyscalculics have problems with PIN numbers for services such as ATMs, and they will attempt to use the same easy-to-remember PIN for all their accounts or write it down. This makes them vulnerable to identity theft and fraud. Dyscalculia researchers have speculated the disorder gets less attention than dyslexia and other reading disorders because it's not seen as an urgent crisis like illiteracy. Researchers have come up with scans that show structural abnormalities in certain areas of the brain known to perform math calculations. Adults who think they may suffer from dyscalculia should be tested by a professional. Brendan Nakamini, KCSN News.
Tax breaks cost nearly $12 trillion and mainly benefit the wealthiest Americans. The top 20% of income earners will reap more than half of $900 billion in benefits from these tax breaks that will accumulate in 2013. This year, the benefits of tax rates on capital gains is worth about $161 billion, and that money goes almost entirely to the wealthy. Associated Press correspondent Tim McGuire says the nation's wealthiest taxpayers get more money from tax breaks than lower-wage earners.
Deductions for state and local sales and income taxes paid, mortgage interest paid, investment income breaks are all higher for higher wage earners. Percentage-wise, however, lower income filers reap higher benefits than the wealthiest. Those making less than $35,000 a year seeing nearly 12% of their income in the form of tax breaks.
House Democrats have argued that it backs up President Barack Obama's proposed approach to tax reform and deficit reduction. The exclusion for employer-paid health benefits is worth $3.4 trillion over a period of 10 years and is more evenly distributed, with more than half of the benefits going to the middle percent of earners. Echo Park will reopen to the public after being restored for the past 2 years. The park was closed down after the state has deemed it impaired due to the polluted stormwater runoff and trash collecting in the reservoir. Communications Director for City Councilman Eric Garcetti, Diego de la Garza, believes this park has a significance that will attract new guests.
Echo Park has had an iconic role in Los Angeles. It's a gathering place that people not only from the neighborhood go to, but from all over the world, they want to come and see this park. It's an important gathering spot. It's a place where people can go and relax in a city that has so little green space.
The cleanup of the park was financed by Proposition O, which called for $500 million in water cleanup. Councilman Garcetti says the restoration of Echo Park is an exclamation point on their efforts to build better neighborhoods through parks. Improvements were made to the park's landscaping, pathways, banks, lighting, and boardwalk. The historic boathouse and Lady of the Lake statue were also restored. The park will open on June 15th. The downtown Los Angeles outdated Macy's Plaza has been purchased by a developer for $241 million. The massive indoor shopping mall was hailed as a crowning achievement in the early 1970s. For years, tourists flocked to the premier address at the intersection of 7th and Flower Street. But Macy's Plaza is currently regarded as a downscale relic of the past, with its fortress-like exterior. Developer Wayne Rajkovich plans a dramatic makeover of the 2.4 million square foot property. He plans a $160 million renovation. Construction is expected to begin early next year and be finished in the fall of 2015. Rajkovich hopes to entice companies and more creative businesses such as entertainment, technology, and media into the mall's 33-story office tower. The developer of the Grove Shopping Center wants to extend an old-fashioned trolley to other locations in the trendy Fairfax neighborhood. This would include the Beverly Center and the Los Angeles County Museum of Art. Another destination would be the La Brea Tar Pits. Developer Rick Caruso says the trolley would make a loop around the numerous attractions in the area, including the planned Academy Museum of Motion Pictures on Wilshire Boulevard. In Southern California weather, clear tonight with lows in the mid-50s to around 60s. Sunny tomorrow with highs in the 70s to lower 80s. I'm Julia Popova, KCSN News. Listen each weeknight at 5 p.m. for the KCSN Evening Update from the award-winning Cal State Northridge Journalism Department.